Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Ryan Cherry. He's a consultant with SB Strategic. We're talking about the energy choice question, question three. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Elisa Cafferata, Marlene Lockhart, and Susan Fisher. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome for the first time to the program Ryan Cherry. He's a consultant with SB Strategic and formerly Chief of Staff to Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me today.
Just a brief look back at your time at the Lieutenant Governor's office. A lot of people have joked over the years that, you know, the Lieutenant Governor really doesn't have a lot to do. But this Lieutenant Governor seemed to be a very busy man in his time in office.
He continues, still.
Right.
Yeah, he continues to be. We started an entrepreneurship initiative through the office that was completely voluntary for him to do. He really wanted to utilize the time, even though he's a part-time elected official, as to the best of his ability and to the staff's ability for the office. So we spent a lot of the time getting involved with economic development opportunities here in northern Nevada and southern Nevada, the entrepreneurship issue, like I said, and focusing on transportation developments. Just all the boards that he served on. He's also the chair of the Commission on Tourism. And with that, we did a lot of efforts. He expanded the office into India. Man, that was a new thing. We kind of reformatted the office relationship with China, make that more expeditious for work from the Commission on Tourism in Nevada to work with the Chinese delegations.
And it's going to be interesting with Galaxy taking a billion-dollar position with Wynn. And that's most people are not even aware of what Galaxy is. Galaxy is a huge company, essentially owned by one person, and has the highest cash amount of any of the casinos in Macau. I mean, it's astonishing how much money they have. They're valued at twice the value of Wynn Resorts, and so that will probably help greatly in cementing the possibility of Wynn to get their license renewed. I think it's 2022, but also the strength of being able to bring people from China to the U.S. Because, of course, if you lose money in Las Vegas versus if you lose money in Macau, the company gets to keep a lot more of it because of the lower taxes.
Yep. And that's true. I mean, the middle class in both China and India are larger for the most part than the entire population of the United States. And those are the folks that are traveling and looking to travel worldwide. And so when you bring people to Nevada, those are the two largest international places that we pull from in terms of that. To clarify, the Lieutenant Governor's perspective and point in that is that he's to subsidize travel into the rest of the state once we bring people into these gateway markets like Reno and Las Vegas. So the Commission on Tourism kind of stands to how do we, once we get people into Nevada, get them exposed to the rest of our state.
And of course, as we know over the years, Asians love the Wild West. They're huge fans of Bonanza, for example, over the years, and they wanted to come to Virginia City and the rural parts of Nevada to see what was going on. Let's turn our attention to some of the things that are going on and what may be, could it be a bigger war than the governor's race? And that's the energy initiative. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so the Energy Initiative itself, I'll just give a little bit of background without going into what the ECI specific language is, but it is to eliminate the electric monopoly in the state. And by eliminating that monopoly, we're opening a way to competition, retail markets, increasing the ability to innovate in our markets, and lowering costs. And so we look about doing that. The intent of the language of the initiative itself is to create open competitive markets, and then allow customers for meaningful choices. And meaningful choices right now are different than the definition we have today. And a meaningful choice underneath the intent of the initiative is you have the ability to self-generate. You have the ability to combine with others to generate as a group or procure power as a group from the wholesale market, which you can't do today. You can access a lot of cheaper energy that way. It also allows you to have competitive markets in place. And versus the monopoly structure that we have today, that uses the free market principles to drive down costs. There's a really important study. I think Phil O'Connor did the COMPETE study in 2015. It looked at the 14 states that have choice markets versus the 35 states that have monopoly markets. And then there's a few hybrid markets in between, so that's why those numbers don't add up. But by looking at the competitive markets, you see a residential cost decrease of 4.5% compared to inflation over a 14-year period. You see a 5% increase compared to inflation rates for the rates you pay for energy in all those monopoly markets. So there's a difference of 9% between those two markets in terms of their ability to produce cheaper energy.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here because this is going to be a topic that we're going to be talking about all the way through November. And on one side, you have the really big guns of NV Energy. Berkshire Hathaway has already committed $30 million to this fight, which is a lot of money. The other side, I'm sure, will come up with something comparable. You have heavyweights like Phil Satre, Michael Yakira. Phil Satre, I believe, is heading up to oppose the initiative. And you have people like Danny Thompson, who's pretty much had his hair on fire since the last legislative session, saying, oh, no, you look at California, the rates are going to double, and is very hysterical about this. But also his former colleagues at the AFL-CIO are also with him, and the electrical workers. It's going to be very interesting. On the other hand, you have people like John Wellinghoff, former head of the FERC, who comes out and says, everything that you're saying is garbage. And that was an op-ed piece that was published in the Nevada Independent. This is going to be a fascinating battle.
It is. And there's a lot of information out there right now that I'd characterize as misinformation. You say specifically some of the comments that Labor has said about this increasing and doubling energy rates. Well, if you look at what Danny's saying, he's saying compare 1.1 million users and the $8 billion that we have in energy generation assets out there and what we're producing and figure out what that cost is. But that's not true because you have different loads for industrial users, commercial users, and residential users. And when you look at residential users here, specifically to Nevada, over that COMPETE study that I just mentioned shows that for Nevada, over that same period of time that we're talking where competitive markets have brought it down, that rates increased 50% more than the rate of inflation for that same period of time. So we're not getting the benefit of a monopoly. And at the same time, we're returning money on an annual basis to shareholders at Berkshire Hathaway. That'll be different in a competitive market because you use free market principles to reduce costs, increase competition. You have multiple retail electric providers coming in saying, hey, let's figure out what we can do from an efficiency side, from a generation side, to bring down the cost so we can be competitive with everybody. And Nevadans will benefit from that.
You know, Ryan, as I hear you and Sam talk about this, the key flaw in all of this is that this energy choice initiative is, to me, too complicated. As you explain it, I can't keep up with you, and I've covered this the last time because it did pass once already. But it comes down to what I think the winner in this, yes or no, on this energy initiative is the people who can explain it best to their satisfaction to the voters. So this whole thing comes down to who's got better advertising.
Okay, and Ryan, I'm going to have you hold that answer until we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ryan Cherry. He's a consultant with SB Strategic. We're talking about the energy initiative. And here's the answer to how complicated is this topic, and is it all down to advertising?
Well, let me simplify it. There is a lot of information out there on the initiative itself. What the initiative does is it eliminates the ability for a monopoly electric utility to operate in Nevada. It moves us to competitive markets. What the initiative's intent is, and the language is to guarantee that you as an individual customer ratepayer have the ability to self-generate. You have the ability to procure energy, produce energy with others. You have freedom from a monopoly, and you have the ability to enter access to a competitive market and to look at it. That's all the language of the initiative says. The rest of the initiative says, in developing these markets so we have a better understanding of it, so we don't lock something in to the Constitution that we can't change, is going to mandate the legislature make these establish the markets. And so what the legislature will have the opportunity to do over the next three legislative sessions is, you know, look at a study. If you follow the Public Utilities Commission investigatory docket process for the Committee on Energy Choice.
You know, my subscription just ran out on that.
Well, it happened in January and February of this year. What they're talking about is taking a look at everything that we have to do in terms of establishing a wholesale market, a retail market, consumer protections, as well as the costs associated with kind of the transition and what we have now versus what we'll have then, which is another point I want to get to, and how can we effectively move those forward. The governor's has a Committee on Energy Choice that's working in tandem with the Public Utilities Commission's investigatory docket process to make recommendations to the governor, and that's Governor Sandoval now, who will then put those forward to the legislature moving forward. So it's not something that is going to be out there. There's no lack of background on this process. They're currently looking at once this passes a second time to have the information they need to know the questions that they have to ask so they can establish the setup over the next three legislative sessions. And I mentioned costs in that. That's a big thing. Right now you're hearing a lot of information out there about generation assets and stuff from NV Energy and how if we transition to a competitive market, cut ratepayers and be left on the hook for that. That's just not the case because you're paying for those right now in your bundled electric bill. All of those are in your generation cost as a line item on your bill. If we move to an electric or into a competitive energy market and NV Energy divests of their assets, the money that is left over from that will be the book value minus the depreciation of those assets.
Okay, and so bottom line, all right, because we're out of time here.
Okay.
Ray's right. I mean, it's going to come down to television and radio commercials, newspaper ads, and fear on one side and optimism on the other. And are you willing to take the chance that if you have this open market, that your bill will go down? Or if you have this open market, will your bill go up? We're out of time.
I want to finish that one point, though, Sam,
very quickly,
is that there will be no change in cost in a competitive market. You're going to be paying what you are paying now, just in a different way.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it, but you are welcome back. All right, thank you, sir, and we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Susan Fisher is here, the Vice President of the Government Affairs Group with McDonald Carano, Elisa Cafferata, Principal with Cafferata & Company, and Marlene Lockhart, Partner with the Lockhart Group. And we don't usually delve into the salacious on this program, but I would guess that 60 Minutes probably had their biggest audience ever for last night's interview with Stormy Daniels. Your thoughts, Marlene?
I think they probably did, but I think it was overhyped, and in my view. And by the time she finally told her story, I don't think there was really any new news there except maybe getting spanked. And, you know, we all know we have a president that has absolutely no self-control. He's brought shame and vulgarity to the Oval Office, and it's just more of the same.
You know, and my question, Susan, I guess, is does it even matter? Because at this point, it seems, for the most part, that if you're a Trump supporter, you're a Trump supporter. If you're not a Trump supporter, you're not a Trump supporter. And there's no peeling people away. But Wayne Allen Root, who writes a column for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, felt that the president, because of the budget, really let down his team, and you know, is mortified that the president went along with this $1.3 trillion budget. Your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I don't read Wayne Allen Root. I can't stomach it. So, you know, I agree with Marlene that it's really sort of a non-issue, probably, and your comment, Sam, about if you're a supporter, they're not going to peel you off. If you already hated the guy, well, you're not going to feel sorry for him on any of this. I just don't understand any of the Trump support, and I'm a Republican. I just don't understand it.
Elisa?
Well, you know, I'm a Republican, too, and I do understand the Trump support in that here's a guy who said to his base, you know, all these people that are telling you things are complicated, they're not complicated. And he just does things without regard to sort of the nuance and the sort of consequences or ramifications of his actions. But I think what we're seeing now is a couple of things. One, around the budget, I think you're going to see Congress really sort of start taking some ownership of some of the pieces of the agenda, which is really their job. So I think that's good. I think you're seeing a lot more chaos in the White House in terms of staffing turnover. I think that's going to make it harder for the president to do these one-off policy pronouncements and decisions. So and the thing with Stormy Daniels, which I did not watch, you know, I think if the president has been lucky. There have been so many disasters in his administration that no one's been able to sort of focus on one and have it, you know, roll to its conclusion, whatever the consequences would be. But she doesn't seem like she's going away. So this may actually have a dent on his effectiveness.
Well, I think the important thing about the Stormy Daniels thing is, although the optics aren't good for the president, there's a campaign finance implication here for his lawyer who paid the $130,000 in hush money to Miss Daniels. And when you're talking about the budget, $1.3 trillion, like you said, Wayne Allen Root was upset with the president for signing it. It was the first time that I have heard any Republican talk impeachment for Trump signing that budget bill. And I'm talking about Ann Coulter, well-known GOP pundit or conservative pundit, who wrote a book praising Trump just before the election.
Well, I think that there are things in that bill that stunned his supporters. Support for Planned Parenthood, no money for Yucca. That's a big win for Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that clearly Trump did not read the bill.
Anybody except the people that wrote it?
Right. And that's where Elise is correct. I think Congress is emerging, at least through this bill, of having their say, put their stamp. They negotiated it. It was a bipartisan bill. And consequently, there's a little something for everyone in there as a result of that.
Except for the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's wall between the U.S. and Mexico got very little funding, only enough funding to repair fences and walls that are currently up now.
So, Susan, I mean, when you look at this omnibus bill, and I'm not suggesting we actually literally look at it,
because
it's a couple of thousand pages
right.
long. But when Chuck Schumer comes out and says it's a good deal, and yet the Republicans control the White House and both houses of Congress, it seems like we've gone back to business as usual.
Yeah, I think so. And Eleanor, I think, has gone a long way in helping himself and his campaign by taking the stance of defunding Yucca Mountain, as Lisa mentioned as well.
It seems as though the president says that he is not going to ever sign another omnibus bill. But what choice does he have?
Well, I'm hoping he won't be there to have one put in front of him. I think one thing about Congress, I do applaud the bipartisan work on the budget bill, but I think Republicans have been so damaged across the board in Congress for their support and turning a blind eye to some of the things that Trump has done, specifically with regard to Russia, and not imposing sanctions for such a long period of time. I mean, we can go through
They just expelled a whole bunch of Russian diplomats today.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's over. I know they did. I mean, but that's over the poisoning. But he did not implement the bill of sanctions that Congress had approved and just recently implemented that. There are so many things that I think Congress put party over country that is a single issue that's going to come back to bite each and every one of them in this election.
Do you think so, Susan?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's not too often that I do disagree with Marlene Lockhart. This is one of those cases.
Well, and I think it's not just the Russia thing. I think it's the bill for the tax break, and now the Republicans are talking about doubling down on that. So it hurts them with their actually fiscally conservative part of the
Guns.
Base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's that they're really struggling, and I think you've seen it in all the special congressional elections where even districts where they've got 20%, Trump won by 20%, they're losing those seats, and the message of the tax breaks or whatever they're trying to pull out isn't working. So they're really consolidating the part of the base that is maybe evangelical or socially conservative or really believed in the wall, but not any of the rest of the Republican base.
Well, you know, one of Bill Clinton's leading advisors once said about elections, it's the economy, stupid. And if that saying that, I think there's a with all these other things you're talking about, I still think there's a possibility that President Trump will win re-election as the if the economy keeps growing and being healthy.
I agree. But if there's a if he unleashes a trade war, which he seems almost, you know,
now they're negotiating.
Hell-bent on doing.
Munchkin said today. Munchkin, he said that
Mnuchin.
Yeah, the Treasury Secretary. He said today through back channels they're negotiating not to have a trade war.
Well, I would like to offer that I think we're creating a perfect storm between the women's march and movement, the activism that has not gone away, the record number of women applying to run for office, signing up, the kids' march this weekend. I think we've got a whole new element, a convergence of enough is enough in this country.
Susan, and, you get the last word.
You know, once again, I agree with Marlene on this. I do think that if they don't fix the trade issue, that is going to hurt the president, because it's going to hurt industry in Nevada, or not in Nevada, well, in Nevada too, but throughout the nation. I just, that's got to get fixed.
And that's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Check out Nevada Newsmakers online at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can go to iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast.